And welcome to a special edition of Make Audio. I'm Philip Tarone, associate editor of Make Magazine. And on today's show, we have a live report from Michael Gartenberg from Jupiter Research. He's one of my favorite analysts, and we talk about the crazy news that happened today. Intel and Apple together. And, you know, Michael always has some great commentary on his blog. I saw some of his write-ups, so I called him up, and we talk live. So if you're interested in what type of hacks and mods we might see, we talk about that. We talk about some of the news, talk about how the sales might be affected by this move. And so if you're looking to catch up on this crazy story that is part of this weird bizarro land of things that have been happening in technology, well, here we go. All right, I'm here with Michael Gartenberg from Jupiter Research. Michael, you there?
I'm here. How you doing today?
And where are you at right now?
I'm actually in the press room at Moscone, where everyone is busy reacting to this morning's news and, of course, the confirmation that Apple is making the transition from PowerPC to Intel.
So tell me about the reasons why you think they're doing this. You know, Steve Jobs talked about this, but why do you think Apple's moving to the Intel chipset?
I think there's a number of reasons for this, and the fact is that at the end of the day, they were tired of not being able to deliver things like a 3 gigahertz machine, of not being able to put a G5 into a laptop, and it also gets them off of this whole notion of constantly trying to defend PowerPC performance, both the development community to the end user community that uses the Intel platform as the benchmark. So at this point, if you'll forgive the term, an apples-to-apples comparison.
So do you think when a company like Apple announces something like this, do you think the hardware sales will suffer for the next year? You know, people don't want to buy a new Mac because they'll just hear that there's another one coming?
You know, in this industry, I think consumers are pretty well educated at this point, and they know that if they wait long enough, something bigger, better, faster, cheaper, or in some cases smaller is going to come along. And I don't think they're going to suffer at all for a couple of reasons. One is it's likely that Apple will continue to support both platforms for a pretty good period of time. So Leopard that they announced today, shipping in the Longhorn timeframe, I suspect will no doubt run on today's generation of computers. Apple would be foolish not to bring those people along into the future. And the second is the real investment that people have, which is in software, is going to run fairly seamlessly on the new environment. So you might have some people holding off a little bit, but I think for the most part, while this is really big news for Apple and big news for her developers and big news for Intel and in some ways IBM, for their customers, this is almost a non-issue. People don't buy a Macintosh for PowerPC or because of a particular graphics chip. They buy it for macOS. And as Steve demonstrated rather eloquently this morning, it looks, runs, and feels just the same regardless of what's under the hood. And that's why this is really important. But I think over time it's going to boost their hardware sales because there's a couple of things that Steve didn't talk about on stage that I've gotten from Apple executives. And first and foremost, this isn't a clone play. Mm-hmm. We're not going to see macOS 10 running on Dell or Hewlett Packard or anyone else's computer. In fact, they're going to prevent you from doing that in the software. But they won't support Windows running on the new machine. They won't prevent Windows from running on those machines. And that means it's going to be pretty easy for folks to be able to create a dual boot environment where they can really get the best Windows experience and the best macOS experience on one system. So, frankly, over time, this can really be a big boost to Apple going forward.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because obviously, you know, we cover all sorts of hacks and mods, you know, people putting macOS on Xboxes and Linux on everything. You know, we talk about putting Linux on iPods all the time. I was just going to ask you, to me, you know, as soon as their developer kits get out in the wild and as soon as, you know, something ships, I think we're going to see a lot of interesting projects where people are doing what you said, you know, putting Windows on the Mac hardware, which would be great because Macs usually come, you know, stunning hardware. But I think we'll also see a lot of hacks and a lot of crazy workarounds. Do you think that'll be something that we'll see, some projects ahead?
Oh, I have no doubt. I mean, I fully expect you to be one of the first people to tell me how to run the developer version of OS X on my ThinkPad and enable tablet support for it as well. But at the end of the day, here's the issue. It won't be something that any vendor can license legitimately. It won't be anything that anyone can support legitimately.
Yeah.
I think Apple will get pretty annoyed if someone tried to sell a hack that would let you do this. I don't think they care about the enthusiasts who will do this and because they can. But more importantly, they won't stand in the way of anyone who wants to let Windows work. So it's more likely we're going to see someone like Microsoft come up with a version of, virtual PC that will let you seamlessly run both apps, both environments simultaneously, and just kind of seamlessly go back and forth between them. And that's huge, because for most people that'll be the path of least resistance, because Apple's hardware is pretty attractive to begin with.
So on a somewhat related topic, on Friday, or I think it was over the weekend, the story hit. I think CNET covered it. I saw it, all over the blogs. Was there any irony in the fact that that story broke before the keynote, but we don't see the same lawsuits against, these small blogs that we saw previously? Was anyone talking about that in the press room, about how, why is it okay for these other publications to do it, but not, the blogs were sued last time?
I'm not a lawyer, so I won't get into the legal distances, but I think the implications here are pretty different. No one leaked a specific product.
Mm-hmm.
They leaked a deal, which is pretty standard for the business press to do. And that's a lot harder to control. I'm sure, the Apple side of the equation was pretty silent on this. And my guess is if whatever the leaks were probably came more from the other side than from the Apple side of the equation. So I don't think it's the same thing as releasing details of a specific product to be announced at a specific time. And it's the difference between reporting on the rumors of a deal versus reporting the existence of a product that's a trade secret.
Yeah, that's what I'd figure too. I was just wondering if anyone was like, hey, why is it okay here but not okay there? All right, well, two more questions. The first one, you saw the demonstrations with taking an existing app, and it was running on this Intel version of Mac OS. From what they were talking about, did it seem like for a developer the transition is going to be fairly easy, or do they have a lot of work ahead?
It was pretty impressive that developers like Mathematica were able to get their app running in about 2 hours. So that bodes pretty well if you've been following Apple guidelines. And, of course, the existing applications all seem to work pretty seamlessly. Jobs are showing Photoshop and Photoshop filters working, if not at warp speed that will be good enough for the vast majority of Apple customers. And that bodes the way for a very smooth transition for their customer base.
Hmm. All right, so last question. Is this a new space race? Are we going to see, Longhorn versus, Jaguar? Leopard. Leopard's a new one, right? Are we going to see this? This is the new race. Is there going to be a real match soon between Microsoft and Apple?
Well, I think it was important that Jobs announced Leopard is shipping within the Longhorn timeframe for a real reason. And the implied statement was, if you think you're going to be comparing Tiger against Longhorn, that's not the equation. It's going to be Tiger successor, Leopard, against Longhorn. And that is going to be something very, very different. It was clearly defensive. We're not resting on our laurels either. And, of course, we're going to be running on the same hardware platform. So whatever perception or advantage you feel exists because of Intel versus PowerPC, we've taken that out of the equation. So, yeah, definitely going to be, I think, an increasing, if not war, but, look for the rhetoric to increase on both sides of the equation. And Apple has clearly shown they know how to deliver a message. They know how to capture the imagination of the world, and pretty impressive stuff. The other thing Jobs showed, I don't know if it's interesting to you guys, is their podcasting features in iTunes.
Yeah, was Adam Curry there?
Adam Curry wasn't there, although he did show the Daily Source Code as one of the podcasts he demonstrated.
Ah, gotcha.
Really cool features, like podcasts. Now have album art that can shift over time. So they showed New Music Tuesday, and when you get to a different artist, how the cover art changes.
Hmm.
But it really makes it very, very simple for anyone to subscribe. and download podcasts. And that's what's going to take this thing to the next level. And of course, that's great for Apple because it gives ways for people to fill up those bigger iPods and have a reason to buy a bigger iPod without having to buy more music from the iTunes Music Store. So no doubt in my mind that iTunes is about to become the most important podcasting client for Macintosh and Windows. And, of course, that's going to make the podcast directory pretty valuable, too.
So did they show where they're getting the directory from? Is it from the iPod or stuff, or is it from their own directory, or you submitted, or how did that work out exactly?
They didn't discuss it at all in terms of what the vehicle mechanism was, but they did show the directory organized by different categories and emphasized that, you know, and showed both amateur as well as professionals that had embraced the technology. And Jobs basically said in his mind it was both. He did call it the Wayne's World of radio again, but I think certainly at this point people were taking that as a comment out of context. He meant it as a compliment, not as a negative. It was a way in his mind of average people being able to get their message out to the entire world for the cost of doing a broadcast and putting it on a server. So he called it the hottest and most important thing in radio going on right now.
Wow. And so did they show like any feed could be added? So not anything outside the directory could be added as well?
Didn't show how that would work. They were showing how you could browse the directory and then quickly subscribe to that. So there didn't seem to be any vehicle that would let you go ahead and add an outside feed. So that's why I said certainly the stuff that's in the directory is going to, from an end user perspective, have an immediate advantage over anything, you know, that isn't in there that you have to go out and hunt and find. So that's certainly one feature that we'll have to look and wait to see whether Apple makes it easy to integrate other feeds. The same way that they deliver a certain number of RSS feeds in Safari, but automatically can detect other feeds and makes it pretty easy to subscribe to those as well.
Yeah, so whoever gets in the directory, you know, by default, that's just a great thing for them. They'll probably see an instant subscription jump, you know, in their listeners.
Yeah, certainly if you're in the directory, you better make sure your server bandwidth is up to the task.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, thank you so much. I'm glad I got a chance to talk to you. You know, you're definitely one of the experts always calling exactly what's going on in the industry, so I wanted to talk to you and kind of cut through a lot of the noise. So thank you so much.
You got it. My pleasure. Anytime. Have a great day, and let's do this again soon.
Okay, take care.
Bye.
For more information in the show notes and to subscribe to Make Magazine, the magazine that will show you how to hack up your new PC-ified Mac, visit makezine.com.